How can a microchip manufacturer keep track of 250 million control points at once?
How can technology behind animated movies help enterprises reimagine their future?
Built for Change listeners know those answers and more. I'm Elise Hu.
And I'm Josh Klein. We're the hosts of Built for Change, a podcast from Accenture.
We talk to leaders of the world's biggest companies to hear how they've reinvented their business to create industry-shifting impact.
And how you can, too.
New episodes are coming soon, so check out Built for Change wherever you get your podcasts.
From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily. Today, 12 of the weapons found in the gunman's hotel in Las Vegas were reportedly modified with a simple device that can be bought online, but effectively transforms a legal firearm into an automatic weapon. What is a bump stock, and where did it come from? It's Thursday, October 5th. So, Chris, the morning after the shooting, you're hearing the audio of what happened in Las Vegas. And what are you hearing?
Well, what I heard was what everyone heard, which was this long, extended burst of fire that sounded like an automatic weapon. Sounds like a machine gun.
Chris Chivers is an investigative reporter at the Times.
And the reason I was thinking that initially was the length of the burst. I mean, it was impossible to count the rounds, but it was far more than the traditional magazines you would hear in an assault rifle. You would almost never hear this long, sustained, continuous burst that we heard out of that hotel, and that essentially sounded like it continued until the shooter was out of ammunition. And it didn't make immediate sense to me that someone who had military training would shoot like this, because that's not the way infantry veterans are trained to fire. They fire in short bursts, and they fire 6 or 8 rounds, and there'll be a pause, they'll re-aim and reorient the weapon, they'll fire another 6 or 8 rounds. So when I heard it, my initial impression was this person doesn't come from a military background.
And how is it you know that?
Before I was a reporter, I served in the Marine Corps Infantry and fired many of these types of weapons myself. I was trained on a whole assortment of them.
Get back! Get back! Get back! Hey, I know you want. There's multiple people shot up there. I know. Get in there. Get in there.
Why is the speed of this, the number of bullets that you think you're hearing coming out of this gun, so notable and unusual?
Well, in the United States, in the main, the types of weapons that can fire at that rate of fire are banned for almost all civilian possession. So having covered and followed a lot of mass shootings and crimes with semi-automatic rifles over, you know, the last 20 or 30 years, I'd never heard something in the United States fired like that in the commission of a crime.
So what do you start to wonder when you realize that those guns that produce that sound are illegal, but you're hearing it?
Well, a few possibilities come to mind. I mean, those guns are, you know, broadly banned, but they're still possessed by a few people, but they're quite expensive. And those people, you know, in my experience, tend to be law-abiding and federally vetted. So you start to wonder, what else could this be? You know, where could a weapon of this sort come from? And that leads to the possibility of a semi-automatic rifle that has been modified to fire at that rate of speed.
And what modifies a gun like that?
Well, there's a number of ways to do it. There are devices that are called bump stocks.
All right, so I ordered my bump fire stock from Bump Fire Systems. So here's the package.
That speed up the rate at which the semi-automatic weapon is firing. The mechanics internally to the weapon don't change.
I think we got to go try this out.
But the rate at which the weapon is discharging bullets starts to rival that of an automatic weapon.
Tell me a little bit more about this thing. What does it look like, Chris, a bump stock?
Well, I have to confess a certain amount of ignorance to the bump stock from my own personal experience, because back when I was handling M16s as, you know, as part of my daily life, they weren't a thing. They weren't out there. So I've never actually handled or fired one.
Basically, what I'm going to do is when it's cocked, I'm going to hold the gun with my left hand, being that I'm right-handed.
But think of the stock on a rifle, which, you know, extends roughly from your shoulder forward up towards the chamber. That entire component is swapped out with an aftermarket accessory, which is fairly inexpensive.
And I'm going to put it in the trigger guard here, but I'm not going to grip the pistol grip.
And it would look, you know, say you were 50 feet away, the rifle really wouldn't look much different to you.
And it takes a little practice, but once you get it going, you can actually do this pretty quick.
What's the basic working and physics of a bump stock, and how does it work with how a gun normally fires?
So when a weapon is fired, there's a cartridge inside a chamber, which is loaded with propellant. The propellant burns, and the expanding gases of the burning propellant push the bullet out the barrel. And there's excess power. There's excess energy from that. You hear some of that in the report of the rifle. Some of it is sound. But other energy manifests itself as backward recoil, essentially pushing the stock of the weapon towards the shooter's shoulder. Some of that excess energy is harnessed by the bump stock, and it channels some of that energy to push the entire rifle or the stock of the rifle back and forth on this sliding stock mechanism.
Doing it, I didn't realize the sliding motion, like that you pull it back, and if you slide it, the trigger just organically comes into your finger and it starts to fire.
Once I got on top of the gun and started putting some rounds down range, it felt great. It was actually a lot smoother than I anticipated. It just felt awesome, very exhilarating.
And with the trigger depressed continuously, or the trigger finger in one position, the trigger strikes repeatedly back and forth and is essentially fired without the shooter doing the firing. The rifle becomes almost self-firing with this accessory attached.
Doing that, I was really impressed with that, because it was so easy, because once you slid it forward, you lean into it, and it just fires like one time, simple press.
That was very, very exciting. It was more than I anticipated. A lot of fun to shoot. It was a blast. I love it.
And why do people use these? Why would you use a bump stock other than, of course, for something horrific like this?
Well, the obvious use would be for someone who possessed one of these rifles and wanted to accelerate their rate of fire to mimic or rival that of an automatic weapon. There can be any number of motivations for that. I mean, if you go to look at the advertisements and the marketing materials of, you know, various manufacturers of these types of devices.
By daring to put on parchment what our founding fathers felt deep in their hearts.
They advertise it as fun, or as someone who wants the experience of firing at that rate.
Every man's birthright.
Which is otherwise a pretty difficult experience to realize in the United States, because you can't possess, without a great deal of difficulty, a legal automatic weapon.
It's an act of reverence. Of all man's works beneath the heavens, none shines brighter than our Constitution.
You said, Chris, that you don't know all that much about bump stocks and haven't physically used them because they weren't really around when you were in the Marines and handling guns on a regular basis. Do you know where bump stocks came from and kind of why they came at all?
Well, I would put the bump stock phenomena in with a larger phenomena of the surging popularity of American military-style rifles that have really taken off, in my view, since roughly 2004. You know, from 1994 until 2004, there was a 10-year ban on weapons that were termed assault rifles under federal law. And that, in the gun ownership community, made these rifles in some ways seem more coveted. And when the law expired in 2004, it coincided with the United States being at two wars. And there was a plethora of civilianized, semi-automatic versions of rifles that otherwise strongly resembled the rifles used by the American military. And with that came a whole set of accessories, you know, larger
kind of workarounds.
Yeah, well, no, larger capacity magazines, different types of optics, illumination devices, lights, all sorts of things that were common in one form or another in the military became very common in the civilian sector, the civilian firearm sector. And when the ban ended, you know, what I saw was a very large uptick in sales, which was then followed by, you know, cycles of anxiety that the ban could come again. And each time there's a sense in the industry and in the consumer field that there's going to be a fresh regulatory attack and something might be taken away. Each time you tend to see these types of devices or weapons selling briskly.
Well, speaking of the politics of this campaign, let's go to Capitol Hill, where there were no arms twisted, very little floor debate was held, yet somehow a law that a recent survey showed was supported by 68% of Americans is just fading away.
What's the story of how that 10-year ban ended in 2004?
It's simply told. It was a 10-year law, and it wasn't reenacted.
So it expired.
Yeah, it expired.
The measure banned 19 types of semi-automatic rifles, commonly called assault weapons, and it was supported by both the president and by Senator Kerry.
Because the NRA, as we discussed on yesterday's Daily, effectively opposed it being renewed.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of opposition to it.
That's why, despite all the mass hysteria you're hearing from our opponents that this is about machine guns, it's not about machine guns. Machine guns have been banned virtually since 1934. You know, these guns have been around for over 100 years. They function no differently. They don't shoot bigger holes. They don't shoot bigger bullets. So it's not surprising it's had no impact on crime. And because it's a failed policy, Congress should allow it to sunset.
Chris, I want to make sure I understand what's legal and what's not legal when we talk about the weapons we're discussing. What exactly is the difference between an assault weapon and an automatic weapon?
That's a good question, and you're going to get into a pervasive and recurring argument about these definitions. So technically, an automatic rifle, a rifle that if you depress the trigger will fire continuously until you release the trigger or it runs out of ammunition, these have long been banned in the United States. And they can only be legally possessed with fairly rigorous federal licensing process. Assault rifles are something else. But in the simplest sense, in the United States, military-style rifles that fire semi-automatically were banned from 1994 to 2004. That ban expired, and they are legal in many parts of the country now. From what we think we know about the shooter's rifle in Las Vegas, it fits this last definition. At least some of these weapons were legally obtained, semi-automatic, military-style rifles in the assault weapons line. I mean, they're from the same lineage, but they would only, at purchase, fire semi-automatically. And that then they have had an aftermarket accessory that accelerates the rate of semi-automatic fire. Some people may look at this and say it's sort of an end run on the law, that it complies with the letter of the law, but not the spirit.
Right. I mean, essentially, bump stocks can turn legal weapons into automatic weapons, which are illegal.
Not quite. They can turn legal semi-automatic rifles into semi-automatic rifles that fire at rates that resemble an automatic rifle. So if you're downrange from this, as they say, if you're being fired at, the practical effect would seem to you the same.
Right. But for all intents and purposes, bear with me, it's functioning like an illegal weapon, even if it is a legal weapon.
Well, we're kind of dueling here. I would say that it I would say that it fires at a rate that rivals an automatic weapon, but it is still firing semi-automatically. So the result is the same. The process is different.
At this point, what do you make of the fact that the shooter in Las Vegas possessed or may have been actually using a bump stock?
So the bump stock provides an explanation to the first question, or one of the first questions that came to mind when we all heard those long sustained bursts. You know, how did someone get a weapon like that up into that hotel, knowing that weapons of that class are largely banned in the United States? So I think that the possibility that this was a bump stock, as the law enforcement authorities have said, answers the question and introduces what's essentially a whole new type of crime in the United States.
How would you describe that crime?
The ability for a shooter to use a single weapon to fire an extraordinary volume of fire across a considerable distance at a concentration of people. Under the laws as they were conceived and broadly understood, I don't think most people thought that was readily possible. And now if these types of devices are legal and available and can be paired to semi-automatic rifles that are capable of firing 400 or 500 yards, it, as we have seen in Las Vegas, creates the potential for a different sort of havoc, and one that was thought to be outside of the readily available weapons in the United States. And how that would have affected the outcomes in terms of total casualties, I mean, it's a little bit of a guess to try to break that out, but you certainly would think there would have been fewer victims if there were fewer bullets in a short period of time.
Chris, as a former military person, to see military-style weapons in the hands of civilians, whether they're going to use them for something like this or not, what do you make of that?
So I have to say, as a former Marine and as a foreign correspondent who covered a lot of violence and war overseas for many years, I have to say it's startling to hear that type, that volume of fire in such a short period of time, over an American city. That's not something I think I ever expected to hear. And it's been a difficult week to try to process that.
Chris, finally, if I wanted to get a bump stop, I want to go buy one as a civilian, how would I get my hands on one of these?
My guess is, Michael, you'd have a tough time this week if past is precedent. Usually after there's an incident or a change in the political conversation in which people suspect that there could be regulatory action against firearms or devices related to firearms, they tend to sell out pretty quickly. So
there might be a run on these things.
I would think there's a run on the store right now, and I have not sampled that in full, but I'd gone to a few websites and seen they were sold out.
Chris, thank you very much for taking some time.
Thanks for having me.
On Wednesday, Daily producer Ike Sriskandaraja called around to a handful of gun sellers across the country.
Atlantic Firearm Sales Line, how may I help you?
Hi, I'm calling about the availability of a device called a bump stock.
Did you look online? Is it saying that it's out of stock?
Evidently, with what's happened, we don't have any, and you can't get any right now. So you might try Googling Slidefire and see what they say. That's the company that makes them.
And it looks like at this time, I think we are sold out of everything by Slidefire.
I don't sell them. Never have sold them. The guy that makes them lives about 40 miles from me, but one of them devices I never did care for. I couldn't make the cotton picking thing work, and I didn't like it, and I don't sell them.
Oh, you got one left. Which one are you looking for? The Mod is $599 shipped. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they've been selling crazy. I think we've sold 10 of them today.
In Washington on Wednesday, Senator Dianne Feinstein of California introduced legislation to ban the sale of bump stocks.
We have now witnessed the deadliest mass shooting in United States history. Nearly 60 killed and more than 500 injured. Those numbers are simply stunning. In just 9 minutes, an individual was able to turn a concert venue into a battlefield.
Feinstein has advocated for stricter gun control laws for decades and first proposed a ban on the devices in 2013.
After Columbine, I thought we would act. After Virginia Tech, I thought we would act. After Tucson, when one of our colleagues was shot in the head and nearly killed, I thought we would act. After Aurora, that horrible thing in the movie theater, I thought we would act. And particularly after Sandy Hook, when 20 first graders were slaughtered, I thought for sure we would act. After Orlando, I thought we would act. And now, after Las Vegas, I hope senators will finally summon the political courage to stand up and say enough is enough.
By the end of the day Wednesday, after decades of Republicans resisting any gun legislation, two Republican members of Congress said they would also support banning bump stocks, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin and Representative Bill Flores of Texas.
I don't see a reason for the average gun owner to have a bump stock that allows his or her guns to behave as if they're automatic. And I think we can do that and still protect the Second Amendment.
A handful of other Republican senators, including Lindsey Graham, Orrin Hatch, and Marco Rubio, said they would be open to considering a ban on the devices. We'll be right back.
I'm Shane Goldmacher. I'm a national political correspondent for The New York Times, covering the 2024 election. I have off and on for years covered the role of money in politics, and that means sifting through tens of thousands of line items in campaign reports, looking at who's getting paid, how much they're getting paid, who's donating to these campaigns, who's reserved the most ads on Google, who's this billionaire changing the shape of the race with a single check. Look, the campaign spin, the strategists tell you one thing, the numbers don't really lie, and those numbers help us ask the right questions. That's what's so special about the New York Times. We get to tap the collective knowledge and wisdom of my colleagues who have expertise in every nook and cranny of this country and this campaign trail to tell you the full story of what's happening in these critical moments in the last few weeks of the election. If this kind of coverage is important to you, you can support it by subscribing to The New York Times at nytimes.com/subscribe.
Here's what else you need to know today.
The mass murder that took place on Sunday night fills America's heart with grief. America is truly a nation in mourning.
On Wednesday afternoon, President Trump traveled to Las Vegas, where he comforted the victims of the shooting and thanked the police and medical workers who tended to them.
Many families tonight will go to bed in a world that is suddenly empty. The people they so dearly love were torn away from them forever. Our souls are stricken with grief for every American who lost a husband or a wife, a mother or a father, a son or a daughter. We know that your sorrow feels endless. We stand together to help you carry your pain. You're not alone. We will never leave your side.
The president declined to answer a question about gun control, saying, quote, "We're not going to talk about that today." That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you tomorrow.